Another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can learn more about Hope at investinghope.com. You can read our blog there. You can listen to the archive of this show as well. You can also find this show live, of course, Joy 620 every single week, or you can listen at iTunes wherever podcasts are found. Today there is a lot to talk about, and actually, right before I came in the studios, we have breaking news. And so we're going to start there, but we're going to look at this breaking news about Planned Parenthood. Then we're going to look at Joe Biden is in the news again, which he's been in the news for, I don't know, my entire life. And so he also this week has put out a health plan that seems to be going against everything he's done in his 40-year political career when it comes to abortion and life. And so we're going to talk about that health plan, and we're also going to look at an article over at self.com, which is interesting that the website is self.com, because everything they're pushing is about being selfish. And so we are going to look at an article that they wrote concerning pregnancy centers, and they're calling it Telltale Signs That You're Going to a Crisis Pregnancy Center. And then they say a lot of bad things about places like Hope Resource Center and the like. And so we're going to talk about that, but we're going to start with breaking news. Maybe some of you have not been on Twitter, have not been on Facebook, have not been on social media. You're not looking at the news apps, and you have not heard, but let me be the first to tell you that Planned Parenthood has announced they have fired their president. And so their president has been in that position for 8 months. 8 months, and now she is no longer the president of Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood is losing top political aides as its staff worries over its changing direction. So that's a headline of an article that was written back in February. So what Planned Parenthood did, Cecile Richards, just to give you a quick update, Cecile Richards was president of Planned Parenthood for a long time. And look, I disagree with Cecile Richards on everything. But one thing that she is good at is running that organization as far as the way they want it ran. And so she was politically savvy. She's been a part of politics her entire life. Her mom was very political. Her parents were very political. And so she becomes president of Planned Parenthood. And what happens when Cecile Richards becomes president is there's a shift. Okay, so for a time, the focus and mantra of Planned Parenthood wasn't necessarily politics. And so when she becomes president of the organization, well, what happens? Well, the board starts to look like her. The mission statement starts to look like her. The organization, the volunteers, the marketing, the branding, everything turns into the political side of it all. And so what you find is then you have a PAC, and you have Planned Parenthood getting involved in politics all around the country. You have them giving millions and millions of dollars to political candidates. You have them seeking out legislation that's going to target and harm pregnancy centers. You have them partnering with lobbyists and organizations across the country to say that not only should abortion be legal in this country, but also taxpayers should pay for abortion. You have Planned Parenthood then shifting and saying not only should taxpayers pay for it, but you know what? The church should also pay for it. And so nonprofits should also pay for it. You know what? Pregnancy centers, you should be referring people to us. You should be referring people for abortion. And so that's what Cecile Richards did. And then what we found when President Obama was in the White House is you saw an organization that had an ally in the Oval Office. And so Cecile Richards was helping craft the Democratic platform when it came to abortion. She was helping them craft talking points, helping them craft actual legislation, sitting in meetings at the White House with senior staff to talk about, here's how we need to talk about abortion. Here's how we need to talk about the issues. Here's how we need to target the pro-life movement. And then what you found is Cecile Richards was on speed dial for every single major news outlet. And so you saw her on CNN, you saw her on MSNBC, you saw her on NBC and ABC and all the news stations. She was buddy-buddy with all the commentators. And so when anything occurred, when there was a case going in front of the Supreme Court, when a state passed the heartbeat bill, what happened? Cecile Richards got a phone call, and she made her way to a camera, and then she was in the interview. And look, I disagree with her on everything. She's good in front of the camera. She's great at staying on point, at giving those talking points, and hitting the mission all the time. And the mission being, abortion is a fundamental right. That's what they believe. Not just a right that was granted in 1973, but they believe it's a fundamental right, and they have masked it and called it a women's health issue, a health care issue. They even say, look, abortion isn't abortion. It's just about women's health. They don't even want to use the word abortion anymore. It's just women's health. An annual exam, a pap smear, is the same as an abortion. And so what we found over the last few years is that the political climate shifted a little bit. Yes, Obama was still in the White House, but you saw the House and the Senate in Washington flip. And then with the rise of Trump becoming president, well, that kind of severed the ties, clearly, of Planned Parenthood and the Oval Office. And so then Cecile Richards decides she's going to step away. She's got other things that she wants to do with her life. And so she steps away. And Planned Parenthood announces, look, we're going to hire, for the first time, a physician to be the president of our organization. And so they hire someone that is young. That's what I thought. Again, who are they going to replace Cecile Richards with? That's going to be a tough sell. But they went after, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right, Leanna Nguyen, who is a doctor, physician, in her 30s, early 30s. And so they bring her in and they think, okay, this is it. Look, we've gone from a political savvy person to now we have a physician that also cares about the politics of it all and is going to push our agenda. And what we have found out in the last little bit is that, well, maybe there was some concern behind closed doors. And so you had a new president coming in of Planned Parenthood that says, look, I'm a physician. I care about the politics of it all. But there was an article back in BuzzFeed in February that I thought made some interesting points. It says Planned Parenthood is losing two top political officers who helped build the women's healthcare organization into an electoral powerhouse under its recently departed president, Cecile Richards, sparking internal concerns about a shift in direction under new leadership. And so the major departures come at the beginning of a new election cycle and months after the November appointment of Planned Parenthood's new president, Dr. Leanna Nguyen, who previously served as Baltimore's commissioner of health. And so when Nguyen came in, her team put a heavy emphasis on medical credentials. And so everything was, when she became president of Planned Parenthood, every tweet, every message they sent out, everything was about, look, we need to let the world know, for the first time, we have a physician at the head of Planned Parenthood. Well, so what starts to happen? Well, everybody that came on board during the tenure of Cecile Richards, well, what do you think their focus was? Their focus was politics, legislation. So what that means is when Cecile leaves, you have a lot of folks that are not leaving. But their mindset, the mantra has been, we have to win at our state capitals. We have to win at our city council meetings. We have to win in Washington, D.C. We have to win in the Oval Office. We have to win at the Supreme Court. And now you have someone coming in and saying, yeah, all that's great, But we really need to shift our focus to the medical side of all of these things, which further proves the point that this isn't about women's health. So what happened today is behind closed doors, which I think is interesting and a cowardly act, if I must say so myself, why not just have a sit down with the president and say, look, we're not happy with the direction things are going. You're fired. But instead, they have a meeting behind closed doors. And listen to this tweet by the recent president of the Planned Parenthood. She said, I just learned that Planned Parenthood board ended my employment at a secret meeting. We were engaged in good faith negotiations about my departure based on philosophical differences over the direction and future of Planned Parenthood. And then she said, my statement to come shortly. And then she released her statement. And I'll read her statement to you. Give me 1 second. Here's her statement. Let's see. Sorry, that's good radio, isn't it? Here's her statement. As a physician and public health leader, I came to Planned Parenthood to lead a national healthcare organization
that provides essential primary and preventative care to millions of underserved women and families, and to advocate for a broad range of policies that affect our patients' health. I believe that the best way to protect abortion care is to be clear that it is not a political issue, but a health care one. Note that sentence right there. And that we can expand support for reproductive rights by finding common ground with the large majority of Americans who understand reproductive health care as the fundamental health care that it is. She says, I'm leaving because the new board chairs and I have philosophical differences over the direction and future of Planned Parenthood. It's been an honor and privilege to serve alongside all these folks. I will always stand with Planned Parenthood, she says. And so this is this sentence that tells us what's going on here. She said, I believe that the best way to protect abortion care is to be clear that it is not a political issue. You see, now the pro-life side, look, I've been preaching that for 4 years. I've been at Hope Resource Center on this show. I've been saying this is not a political issue. This is a gospel issue. But here's the thing. Planned Parenthood, first off, they don't see it as a gospel issue, certainly. Second, it is 100% a political issue for them. 100%. That's where you win. That's where you lose. You win and lose at the state capitals. You win and lose at the Supreme Court. You win and lose in the Oval Office. You win and lose in Congress with the Senate in Washington, D.C. And so for the past, 8, 10 years, the whole focus has been we have to win and lose at the ballot box. When it comes to voting, when it comes to getting people out to vote, you've seen that their PAC has really risen in terms of how much they're spending on elections, how much they're doing get out the vote drives. They're involving themselves in every other issue. It's not just about abortion. Now it's about the immigration crisis at the border. It's about police brutality. They're looking at all of these things through what? A political lens. Well, now the new president comes in and says, hey, yeah, that's great. That's great. I want to do that too. But here's the thing. I don't see abortion as a political issue. Now, I disagree with this person fundamentally on when it comes to abortion. But she's telling the group, she's telling the whole organization, all of the affiliates, look, this isn't a political issue. This is a medical issue. And the board and all the affiliates and all the executives are going, whoa, 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 whoa. No, this is a political issue. And so those are the philosophical differences that they had. You have a president saying, my mission and vision is to see that this is not a political issue. And you have everyone else going, yeah, that's kind of what we do. We give millions of dollars to politicians. We write their talking points for them. We craft the Democratic platform when it comes to abortion. And so you saw that wasn't going well. And so now they're without a president again. After 8 months, she's no longer the president there at Planned Parenthood. So from a pro-life standpoint, what's that mean? Well, we in some ways may rejoice that there's some discontent and disorganization and disunity within the Planned Parenthood organization. But hear me when I say this. We need to be praying and be aware of what may come, who may step into those shoes, and what the future holds for Planned Parenthood. And I'll give you some numbers when we come back. So as we wrap up the first segment's conversation and topic, look, Planned Parenthood's moving in a different direction. Here's the truth. They're not really sure which direction to go in. The writing is on the wall. Roe v. Wade is coming to an end. I am 100% confident in that. Okay, so they see that and they're on the defense. I mean, we just saw in the last couple of days an executive order by the president saying we are officially going to cut funding to anyone that's providing abortion or referring out for abortion. And so they're seeing the writing on the wall. The budget numbers aren't looking great for them. Abortion numbers are down. Here's the thing. Here's the dirty little secret when it comes to the abortion issue. For a long time, it was safe, legal, and rare. We don't want to see a lot of abortions. And then we hear people say, look, no one is born wanting to have an abortion. No one grows up and their dream is that one day they would have an abortion. And then they say things like, look, no one is pro-abortion. And see, the pro-life movement is saying, look, we want to see the abortion numbers continue to decline. We want to see abortion not only illegal in this country, but unthinkable in this country. But the reality is, these organizations, the abortion lobby, if abortion goes away, their funds dry up. Look, if abortion goes away in the red states of this country, just in the red states, if Roe v. Wade's overturned in states like Tennessee, Alabama, Louisiana, Georgia, and other red states say, look, no abortion here, Planned Parenthood will cease to exist because the funds won't be there. And so over the last 10 years at Planned Parenthood, facilities were down 30%, clientele down 23%, pap smears, pap tests down 74%, breast exams down 62%, cancer screenings down 67%, abortions up 11%, taxpayer funding up 62%. You see, so there's a lot of disarray going on in the organization, but it all goes back to abortion, which is why, that brings me to the next topic, which is why I believe that you're seeing a shift right now in terms of presidential politics. So right now you have in a primary, you have 24, 25 candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for president of the United States. Every single one of them, not a handful, every single one of them believes that abortion should be available and accessible all the way through the pregnancy. So no restrictions whatsoever on abortion. They believe that Roe v. Wade should be enshrined in law. What that would mean is not only would Roe v. Wade say it goes back to the state. So if Roe v. Wade's overturned, it goes back to the states. These candidates are saying, no, we need to just enshrine it in law and make it a federal law that abortion is legal, and that would trump state laws. And so it would be not just legal across the country, but it would be encouraged and forced down the throats of taxpayers across the country. And then you have them saying, not only that, but we also believe taxpayers should pay for abortions as well. So for a long time, you have the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment is a bipartisan amendment that people from all walks of life, both sides of the aisle, supported and said, look, you know, some of us are for abortion, some of us are not for abortion, but here's one thing we all can agree on. Taxpayers should not pay for abortion. Why is that? Because some taxpayers don't agree with abortion. Some taxpayers have religious beliefs and certain values that say, look, I don't want my tax dollars going to that. And so we have had the Hyde Amendment. Guess what? Joe Biden, for his 40-year political career, has always said that he is individually, personally pro-life. He's a Catholic, practicing Catholic, he says, and that he's individually pro-life, but he believes that when it comes to law, that women should have the choice when it comes to abortion. But Joe Biden has been a staunch defender of the Hyde Amendment. We have audio of him. We have writings where he has said, look, we cannot overturn the Hyde Amendment. Taxpayers should not be paying for abortion. That was all true until June 2019. When somebody asked about the Hyde Amendment, and his campaign staff said, of course he's for the Hyde Amendment, and then woke Twitter went nuts. And guess what Joe Biden did? In the span of 6 hours, oh no, I'm opposed to the Hyde Amendment. So 40 years down the tube, all the talk of I'm a practicing Catholic, all the talk of I'm personally pro-life down the tube, all the talk of, look, taxpayers should not be paying for abortion, all that down the tube, because now he is putting himself in line with the rest of the candidates and saying, look, not only am I okay with abortion throughout the pregnancy, but yes, I believe the taxpayers should pay for it. Well, recently he released his health care plan, which I think is interesting. So the National Review has a piece that I would encourage you to go read, and it starts like this. Jack Crow reported earlier this morning on former Vice President Joe Biden's health care plan, which would expand the Affordable Care Act by adding a public option. This distinguishes Biden from the field of politicians vying for the Democratic presidential nomination, as most primary candidates have endorsed some form of quote-unquote Medicare for all. which is a single-payer model that would eliminate private insurance. But his unwillingness to embrace the most radical healthcare proposals on offer should not be mistaken for a dedication to moderation. Though Biden continues stubbornly to call himself personally pro-life, his plan would enshrine into federal law the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion, preventing states from protecting unborn life in any way. And so that's what his goal would do. It would be Biden's plan would also repeal the Hyde Amendment, as I just mentioned, a previously bipartisan rider added to a federal spending bill to prohibit the direct federal funding of abortion. During his decades in the Senate, Biden consistently voted in favor of the amendment and publicly supported it until last month when he just came out quickly and said, look, OK, I'm no longer for the Hyde Amendment. What's more, the public option offered in Biden's plan would, quote, cover contraception and a woman's constitutional right to choose, end quote. In other words, it would explicitly fund both abortion procedures and contraception, presumably including emergency contraception and IUDs, both of which can induce abortion under some circumstances. As currently structured, Obamacare covers contraception at no cost to women, and the HHS contraceptive mandate requires all employers to cover it, although the Trump administration has offered a religious and conscience exemption. Abortion, meanwhile, is currently excluded from the list of procedures that insurers must cover, and they do cover, and if they do cover abortion, they are required to segregate federal funding so that taxpayer dollars aren't directly reimbursing abortion procedures. Though Biden has yet to speak publicly on whether he stands by his many votes in the Senate in favor of the federal ban on partial birth abortion procedures, his full embrace of the left's radical abortion agenda appears to be nearly complete. So that's where we are. The moderate candidate that many said a lot of folks need to get behind because he's moderate, he's more toward the middle. Yes, he's pro-choice, but he certainly is not in favor of third trimester abortions. He's certainly not in favor of taxpayers paying for abortions. All that has come to an end because now in the woke Olympics of the current presidential election and campaign, we are finding that they cannot run fast enough and far enough to the extreme when it comes to the issue of abortion. And it really is disheartening. It's really frustrating. And we're seeing the American people. And I hate to speak. I can't speak for the American people. But look, the conversations that I'm having, the what I'm seeing online, the people that are coming out looking to support Hope Resource Center, a lot of folks are saying, okay, enough's enough. I'm not going to sit on my hands any longer. You have a lot of folks that are saying, look, I've been pro-choice, but this is not what I meant by pro-choice. I didn't mean taxpayer funding abortion. I didn't mean third trimester abortion. I didn't mean light up the World Trade Center to celebrate abortion. And so, look, from a just a strategy standpoint, and far be it for me to give advice to the Biden campaign or to any of those campaigns, but from a strategy standpoint, this is a losing strategy. They will lose. They will lose when it comes to the ballot box because of the atrocity that abortion has placed on this country since 1973. And so these are issues that you need to be aware of. These are things that we need to be reading and understanding. And so when someone says, oh, well, that so-and-so is moderate, well, where do they stand on these issues? Where do they stand on abortion? Where do they stand on taxpayer funding of abortion? That's important for you to know. And so when we come back, we're going to look at an article at self.com that attacks pregnancy centers, and I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to debunk all of it. We'll be back. So the conversation continues, you know, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but you're not getting this show anywhere else where you can, the whole hour, That's all we talk about is what's going on in the pro-life movement when it comes to abortion. And we do this once a week. So you can listen live, of course, at Joy 620. You can also on 102.5 FM, or you can listen to the archive, the podcast, iTunes, Google Play app, TuneIn app, investinghope.com. We certainly appreciate that. So there's an article recently over at self.com, which apparently used to be a magazine, maybe still is a magazine. Clearly, I'm not in their demographic wheelhouse, but they wrote an article, and it's called Five Telltale Signs of a Crisis Pregnancy Center. And then they say, since they're not exactly transparent, you see how they do that? They attack us in a passive-aggressive way. So I just want to read you some of what they say. So, of course, they start, I'm not going to read through the first few paragraphs where they just call us CPCs, crisis pregnancy centers, and we're anti-choice, and that we are anti-abortion, and that we manipulate women, we don't like women, and that we're terrible people. They say all of that, which is untrue, and I've debunked a lot of that clearly on past shows. But I do think it's important. So let's just go through the five telltale signs. And so the first one they say is they run ads asking if you're pregnant, scared, and in need of help. Yeah. Guess what? Planned Parenthood runs ads that are asking if you're scared, if you're pregnant, and in need of help. What is wrong with running an ad that says that? Now, we don't run ads that say, hey, we can give you an abortion, and then when you get there, we go, psych, we don't do that. We don't do ads like that. But are there ads that say, do you think you're pregnant? Well, why would we do that? Well, because we're medical clinics that serve people that think they may be pregnant. Why does McDonald's advertise their Big Mac on a billboard? Because they believe that people driving by that billboard may then want a Big Mac. So a medical clinic that serves primarily those that are dealing with reproductive care, it kind of makes sense for us to say, hey, are you pregnant? Are you having some issues with that? Well, guess what? We don't charge a dime for any of that either. And so they say that's exactly what drew Jasmine Clemens to a crisis pregnancy center when she was 22. She already struck out twice when looking for abortion care, and then she found herself at a pregnancy center. She said it looked like a small business office, so she was confused. And then she sat in the room and she said the staffer asked her about her faith, her family, and her relationship. And so here's the thing, like, yeah, when I go to a doctor's office, when I go to a medical office, they ask me a lot of things, a lot of things. Because that's what medical professionals do. So when you find yourself at a pregnancy center sitting with a nurse or a nurse practitioner, you're going to have to answer some questions before they provide the service for you. And then here's the second one, a telltale sign that you're at a crisis pregnancy center. They advertise or set up shop where people are most vulnerable. Well, yeah. You know, so here's the interesting thing. If you drew a map, right now, if you drew a map of where all the abortion clinics are in this country, you're going to see a pattern. Now, what's that pattern going to show you? That pattern's going to show you that they open up in low-income areas. They typically and usually like to open up in minority areas. They're targeting a certain demographic. Now they would argue that they're there to just offer care. I would argue that Margaret Sanger founded Planned Parenthood based on eugenics and looking to eradicate the weeds of society. Now, what were the weeds of society to Margaret Sanger? The weeds of society were the mentally handicapped, minorities. And so she was for sterilization of certain populations. So there's a mission and an agenda behind where they open up their clinics. Well, guess what? Pregnancy centers are against abortion. We do talk about that choice, and we go through what that looks like for the patient. We do not provide that. We do not refer for that service, but we do talk about it. And so if Planned Parenthood, if abortion clinics are opening up in those areas, wouldn't it make sense then for pregnancy centers to also open up in those areas? Why? Because that would provide more choices, would it not? I mean, if you're pro-choice, wouldn't you want them to have more options and more choices in front of them? And guess what? If they go to an abortion clinic, they're going to have to pay for that ultrasound. They're going to have to pay for that pregnancy test. They're going to have to pay for that abortion. If they come to pregnancy center, they don't pay a dime, and they get better service. So number three, they say they make abortion sound really dangerous. Well, here's the thing. Now, this is going to be a philosophical difference when it comes to someone that's pro-life and someone that's pro-choice. They claim that abortion is not dangerous. They actually claim that delivering a baby, having a baby, is more dangerous than having an abortion. But let me clear this up real quick. If an abortion is successful, what is the ultimate goal of every abortion? The ultimate goal of every abortion, every single one of them, is to end a pregnancy. So what that means is the ultimate goal of every single abortion that's ever been performed in the world, the ultimate goal of that is to end a life. That sounds pretty dangerous to me. And in some cases, what you find is that it not only ends the life in the womb, but it ends the mom's life as well. And then we have botched abortions that ends the mom's life or makes it where they cannot have babies the rest of their life. Not to mention the psychological toll that it takes on that young lady, on the young man that's involved for years and years down the road. For grandparents that were supposed to have grandchildren and now don't. For moms that were supposed to have sons that now don't. For dads that were supposed to have daughters that now don't. For siblings that were supposed to have brothers or sisters that now don't. The psychological toll that takes on families is real. So when someone says abortion isn't dangerous, I'm just letting you know that your response should be, well, let me ask you this. What's the ultimate goal of abortion? And the only response they have is going to have to be to end a pregnancy. Well, what is a pregnancy? A pregnancy is when you have a human being growing inside of you. Well, if you have a human being growing inside of you and it has a heartbeat and it has its own DNA and it has its own fingerprints and it has its own dreams and it has its own brain activity and it has its own blood type. The ultimate goal of abortion, every single one of them, is to end that. So when they say terminate pregnancy, the reality is it ends a life. And so when they say a telltale sign is when someone says abortion is dangerous, well, guess what? When abortion is successful, a heartbeat ends. That sounds pretty dangerous to me. Number five, they use words like choice and hope, but still won't say if they perform abortions. Okay, let me clear this up. Look, our organization is called Hope Resource Center. We use terms like hope, and we use terms like choice. And just so everyone is clear, perfectly clear, if you're not clear on this, I don't know how else I can put it out there. We do not perform abortions. We do not refer for abortions. I am anti-abortion. Full stop. Okay, so we use words like hope and choice, but they don't really tell you if they perform abortions. If you call Hope Resource Center and you say, I think I'm pregnant and I want an abortion, you're going to be told, we don't provide abortions, but here's what we do provide. Because guess what? In the state of Tennessee, you cannot have an abortion without an ultrasound. You can get an ultrasound for free at Hope. We're not going to lie. You know, at the beginning of this article, they said, because they're not really transparent, our name is Hope. Like we're not hiding who we are. On the walls in our building, it says love, valued, and respected, because we believe that every human being deserves love, value, and respect. You know what? We also get together as a staff every single morning and we pray. Why? Because we love Jesus and we believe this is a gospel issue. We're not running from that. We're not hiding from that. And when the moment arises, do we pray for our patients? Absolutely. Do we pray with patients? Absolutely. And so when I see these articles, I get a little hot. But here's the thing. They're writing these articles. They're firing the president of the face of Planned Parenthood. Why? Because they're on their heels. and they know that the end is near. And so we can get riled up and we can get excited and angry and all these things, but the reality is we better be prepared. Are we prepared to see the end of that? Are we prepared to love our neighbor? Are we prepared to step out and take care of a young lady that's facing an unplanned pregnancy? And you can do that by going to investinghope.com and partnering with us in this work. We'll be back. Don't ever lose hope. Hold on and believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet. You're closer than you think you are. Only moments from the break of dawn. All his promises are just up ahead. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet. So as I was during the break, I pulled up Twitter, as I often do. I'm probably on that way too much, but I thought it was important. I read at the first segment of the show, I read some of the statement put out by Leanna Wren of Planned Parenthood, who is now no longer the president of Planned Parenthood. And in part of her statement, she sent a letter out to volunteers and I guess staff of Planned Parenthood. And as she's ending, she says, look, I'm leaving Planned Parenthood because of philosophical differences with the board. And then she says something that I think is very important as we move forward. She says the board believes, or the board says, they're going to double down on abortion advocacy. So look, the idea that abortion is only 3% of what they do, the idea that abortion is not the key mission of Planned Parenthood, is false. And we see here that the former president that was president just an hour ago, who no longer is president, is saying, I've been told they don't want me in that position because they're going to double down on abortion politics. They're going to double down in seeing if we can get more abortion throughout this country. So that's why I said earlier, beware of who's going to step in those shoes. They're not going to go get just some physician. They're not going to go get just someone that cares about women's health. They're going to go get a lobbyist. They're going to go get someone that is willing to die on the sword when it comes to the abortion issue. And so it's a very telling statement that she would admit in her letter, look, they're getting rid of me because I wanted to focus this more on medical stuff, and they clearly want to double down when it comes to abortion advocacy and politics. And so that's important to note. As we finish up the show, I would simply say, I appreciate you listening to this show. I appreciate your support of Hope Resource Center. We just ended another fiscal year at Hope and just are blown away at the support that we receive. And the partners that we have, and the people that donate, and the people that volunteer, and the people that provide baby shower items and all of those things. Even today, I got an email from a church, and then I'm hoping to tell you some more information about. But we're going to be having another concert in December. We like to have Christmas concerts because I love Christmas and I love going to Christmas concerts. And so we're going to do a fundraiser. And the church reached out and they said, look, we would love for our venue to be used, for our building to be used for this concert. But on top of that, what can we do? What do you need our staff to do? What do you need our volunteers to do? How can we help make this better? And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm not giving you any details yet because we're still ironing those out. But we are looking forward to that in December. And just the partnerships that we have and the ability that we have to serve and love those that come in our doors. We're able to do that simply because of people like you. We're able to offer all those free services because of people like you. We're able to have 3 nurse practitioners on staff and 4 nurses on staff because of people like you. And I'm here to tell you, when you find yourself getting down in the dumps about the conversation, the narrative of the day when it comes to abortion, when it comes to life, when you find yourself getting down on what's happening, I would just simply say this. We know how this ends. And there's a lot of work to do, certainly. But all it takes is an email. All it takes is a phone call. And I promise you, your donations and your assistance to Hope Resource Center are making a huge difference, and lives are being saved because of it. Families are being kept together because of it. Relationships are being rekindled because of it. Moms are getting to hold their babies because of it. Families that can't even have children are able to adopt because of the work that you do, and we are grateful for that. And we'll talk to you next week.